It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hockensmith, Greg Pickle, Todd Sadowski, still talking Penn State, Illinois. Penn State wins 63-24. They advanced to 4-0 to set up the big clash. College game day with ESPN going to be in town this weekend. Whiteout, it's all the ingredients you could hope for. We're still talking about this Illinois win and really just looking at what it means for Penn State going forward. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV. For the best single game RV value in Happy Valley, you got to check out GoPSURV.com. Fantastic RVs you can rent for individual gains. They got free shuttle to Beaver Stadium, large projection TV, free Wi-Fi, and you can enjoy tailgating in the lot with 4-9 barbecue and wine, along with Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and Labatt beer. Go to PSURV.com for all the details. I want to go back to rushing success and really just looking at Miles Sanders as a runner. I love so much what we saw from him there. But this was a day where they went for, 387? Mm-hmm. 200 for Miles Sanders. Ricky Slade got in the act with 94. Trace McSorley, 92 yards. And then you had Journey Brown score a touchdown late in this one. I really feel like, and going back a couple years, one of the things that helped unlock this offense was Trace McSorley really getting involved as a runner, not just posing a threat, but doing some actual damage. I think that was a key in this one, but a dominant day for this offensive line and for this run game. And you saw it with Miles Sanders, and I think a lot of people are feeling real good about Miles right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway for me on the rushing front is not just the fact that Penn State was able to have a 200-yard rusher. Think about that. I mean, Saquon Barkley had a lot of tremendous games at Penn State. He didn't have many 200 or more yards rushing game. You know, we were joking that the way Penn State was gashing them, that Larry Johnson's single game rushing record might be up for might be up for grabs now. Eventually, they put Slade in.
I don't think Bob was joking about that.
I don't think he was. Yeah,
he was tweeting something out.
The idea behind it was simply just that Penn State could do whatever it wanted on the ground. You know, in the second quarter, you just had this feeling that Penn State didn't need to throw another pass the rest of the night because they could just run and run and run. And Illinois could know that they were going to run. Illinois was putting five guys in the box and saying, "Okay, beat us with the run." And Penn State said, "Okay." We will. And, you know, 7.6 yards a carry indicate just how Penn State attacked
them. I think what impressed me the most about Miles Sanders, and you can look at it when you look at the stats, is yes, he hit 200 yards rushing, but that was also the net. He had zero loss yardage, lost yardage period. There was no tackles for losses. There was no hesitation. There wasn't, "I'm going to go try and bounce this outside." It was, bam, hit the hole between the tackle, off the end, whatever it was. So that indicates to me, when you don't lose any yardage off your total with 22 carries, that one, as Dustin, you said, the offensive line was blowing them off the line of scrimmage. But he was also not hesitating. He was getting straight through north and south and moving it forward. Whether he had 5, 6, 7, 8, he wasn't settling for 2 or 3 trying to make a big play out of it. He was taking what was given to him. And that's the maturity of a runner that's, one, being told, let's see it a little bit more north-south, but also understanding what his strength is. And he's a big guy to bring down. And when he hits the hole full speed, you know, that works out well. Ricky Slade also, same kind of runner that, you know, just gets through the hole quickly. And the offensive linemen love those kind of guys to block for.
A little bit of wiggle. You know, I think Saquon Barkley sets the – and here this is us talking about Saquon on the same segment as Miles Sanders.
Not allowed to do that.
Greg over here is taking some criticism over. But, I mean, you have to. They're just different guys. You know, Saquon sets the bar really high for elusiveness, but Miles Sanders and Ricky Slade both, just a little bit of wiggle and a plant and go, and this is what we knew was a strength. So you combine that with an offensive line who's actually getting a push. And I obviously Ohio State's not going to be the same as Illinois, but I think there's going to be some plays where they get a good push against that front, especially if Nick Bosa doesn't play. And what can Miles Sanders do with that? It was interesting on the broadcast, DeMarco Murray was on it talking about, you know, they got into running back stuff and the ability to fall forward, because that's what Miles Sanders is always doing, is falling forward. And somebody asked him whether that's something that's taught or whatever, and he said, "You either got that or you don't." Miles Sanders has that fall forward. There's always an extra yard at the end of it. There's rarely any negative yardage plays plays at all. It's just his style. And again, you combine that with some push, and that's a good thing for Penn State.
Yeah, no question. I mean, again, I think Miles Sanders, and we saw James Franklin out of Pittsburgh just infuriated with Miles Sanders over not going north-south, going east-west. There's a clip where you can see Franklin say, get up the field.
Given the Bill Cowher chin.
Yeah.
See, that chin was out.
Yeah, it was. It was an angry, like, what are you trying to do here? How many times do we have to talk about this? And, you know, Franklin talked about it after the game. He was, you know, he's more or less like, look, with Saquon, it was, you know, you always got frustrated when he did it, but he typically... If he went east-west and lost yards five times, the sixth time, he turned it into a 96-yard touchdown run. So he was just he was a special guy. And it's not that Sanders can't do that, but I don't know if he could do it with the same maybe consistency that Barkley could.
Well, it's probably – what I also like about what he's been able to do is he's an every-down back. And so when you see him against Ohio State, I wouldn't be surprised if he catches the ball a few times. He didn't have to catch the ball against Illinois. But they could also use him in the screen game. He can pass block. You know, Miles Sanders, if he's not winded, if he hasn't run it really far or whatever the situation may be, he's going to be out on the field. He can handle every responsibility that a feature back needs to handle.
Let's talk about that defense a little bit more. We touched on it a little bit, but for 30 minutes and change against Illinois, for 30 minutes against Pitt, they could do whatever they wanted on the ground. I want to know what all the factors are here because – you know, there are a lot of plays where those linebackers were just nowhere to be found. I don't know whether it's lost in traffic. I don't know if it's not shedding blocks or some combination thereof. What's going on and why the fixes?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how you fix it in a week. I don't know if it's possible to fix it in a week. At this point, I think you just have to hope that whatever the little things are that you're giving away to other teams, you can find out what those are and not replicate them again. I don't know what else how to fix it at this point. I really don't.
I think you just got to hold on and hope and continue to try and improve each week. It's one of the things that makes this matchup a little bit more unique in late September when you typically see Ohio State on the schedule in mid to late October. One of the concerns for this year's version of the Nittany Lions is you got to face them at the end of September. And you know, this matchup really kind of dictates everything, doesn't it? I mean, when you look at it, I mean, if you can beat Ohio State, you really do control a lot of what's going on because you just assume Ohio State's going to take care of a lot of the other teams in the division. If you can't figure it out from a defensive standpoint and can't win the game, then you're hoping that they lose twice in the conference. I mean, how often does that happen for Ohio State? So, you know, your point's well taken. And you look at the defensive leaders, and I think part of what's happening with the linebackers too is I don't think the defensive line's helping them out as much as you'd like to get help from them. I think, you know, they're being asked to do more than you really want them to do probably out there. And so when you look at your tackle leaders and you don't see any of the defensive linemen getting more than 1, 2, 3 tackles in a game against the team that was running the ball against you, that's a concern. And that's probably putting too much responsibility on a young linebacker core.
I think that is fair to say. And well put, Todd.
Well, thank you very much.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show.
That's why you ask me back or allow me to come back in, I guess.
That's why we don't lock the doors on you like we plan to do. We're brought to you here by Shotzi's Jumbo Brats. Whether you're tailgating at a game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats, they belong on your grill. They're supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football, it just doesn't get any better than that. Don't forget to add the jalapeno relish. Get yours at shotzisbrats.com or at the gopsurv.com lot every Penn State home weekend. James Franklin said something interesting after the game. Really just you tend to look at not having a lot of separation between your starters and your reserves as I don't really on the surface take that as a negative thing, but that's one of the things that James Franklin said is that they still don't know who their guys are. And the longer you go on like that, the more I think that becomes a negative thing. I feel like, you know, it would have been my expectation. I'm guessing it was James Franklin's expectation to have some more answers on the personnel front, especially on that defense by now.
Well, I think it's impressive for Greg. Forgive me for stepping in, but I always talk to Greg about, hey, man, how you keep an eye on all these guys rotating in? But you tell me when you're watching this team, you can't turn your head because you look back and there's another number out there.
Yeah, no, I always get kind
of – That's another issue to discuss is that are they – Is there such thing as rotating too much?
Yeah.
Or, and are they only rotating because they don't have the answers yet?
Yeah, so James Franklin got a little upset, I think, after the game when he was asked, you know, why are you rotating more guys to normal? He's like, no, this is what we always do. And you can say that, and it might be true. And there obviously is a, this is a group that rotated a lot. But it's also true that when you play 20 guys on defense regularly, it means you don't have 11 you feel good about. And to his credit, he admitted it and said, we don't know who our best 11 players are. And do you? I mean, honestly, do you? I think Imani Oriwariye is a part of that group. Nick Scott's part of that group. Sharif Miller's a part of that group. Etur Grossmont. You know, you can look at who the 11 starters are, but do you feel good about those guys out there in big games at the biggest parts of the game? And I don't know if that's the case. Now, the flip side of that is, should you be playing 9 of 11 backups up 7-0 on the road in the first quarter and you give up a 75-yard touchdown drive
easy.
That was easy. I mean, it was, yeah, I mean, it was 15 yards of play. It was ridiculous. So I don't know. And this goes back to your question earlier, Dustin. You asked, how do you fix it? I don't know if you can. They have no help. They're getting no help at linebacker. I think Jesse Lucado, Micah Parsons, Ellis Brooks, the three youngest guys, I think they're really interesting players that have a chance to be very good. It's not going to happen overnight, especially with Parsons and Lucchetto, who are first-year players learning the ropes. It's just not going to happen. And then, like you said, Todd, when the defensive line doesn't show up, then you're really in trouble.
Well, look, I mean, Etur Grossmontos and Sharif Miller had one assisted tackle between the two of them.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of preseason talk about both of these guys, and they just played Illinois.
Right.
I mean, you know, you would think that if they're ever going to show up and make a difference, it would be against a team like Illinois on the road. And it didn't happen on Friday night. I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
Right.
It's just so far we haven't seen that. And, you know, you see guys out there that you're really checking your roster. And you're going, who? I mean, Jonathan Sutherland's out there making tackles left and right. I'm like, who? Oh, yeah, Sutherland. Yeah, I mean, he's showing up tonight. You know, yeah. That kind of stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. That's just what they are right now, is a lot of guys contributing, and they're hoping that makes a difference when you roll fresh bodies out there.
Let me kind of close with this. Illinois, they're not the cream of the crop in the Big Ten, obviously. But I do think they're going in the right direction because they came out prepared. I think they have an idea of what they're trying to do, especially offensively. Their coordinator, Rod Smith, who he came from Arizona, he knew how to push buttons early in that game. But in the end here, they haven't recruited at a very high level. I think they're going to be organized and well coached, and you could see from minute one that this was a team that was looking for turnovers. James Franklin made a point of that, but they're really clawing at the ball. They're an opportunistic team. But where are they going to go here without getting better personnel on board? I think there's only so far that Lovie Smith can take these guys without getting better players. He's his own personnel department now. He doesn't have a general manager who's putting that roster together for him. That's his job. We'll see if they can take that next step. And we're going to take the next step here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, looking around the Big Ten, looking around the nation in college football.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Whether you're going to Happy Valley for a football game or having a cookout at home, Shotzi's Jumbo Brats belong on your grill. These awesome brats are made with the finest ingredients using an old-fashioned German recipe and supersized to meet the hungriest tailgaters' needs. Shotzi's Jumbo Brats and football. It just doesn't get any better than that. Get yours at shotzisbrats.com. That's S-C-H-A-T-Z-I-S brats.com.